I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Did you shadow ban my account? Yes or no?
Again, not to the best of my recollection.
So the answer is, Mr. Roth, yes, you did. I found out last night from Twitter staff that you suppressed my account for this tweet. It's a freaking joke about Hillary Clinton being angry that she couldn't rig her election. It's a joke. But in response, being the sinister overlords that you all are, you placed a 90-day account filter so I could not be found. And now we see here that Twitter staff said the visibility filter on my account excluded me from top searches, prevented notifications for non-followers, and much more. This is considered an aggressive visibility filter. You silenced members of Congress from communicating with their constituents. You silenced me from communicating with the American people over a freaking joke. Now, who the hell do you think that you are?
Oh, my God. She is on fire. And rightly so. Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, Republican, questioning one of the Twitter big execs as Congress is now investigating Twitter, big tech, and how they relate to state-controlled media weaponization with federal agencies. And she was on fire. This is Feb 10, 2023. These hearings on what's been going on behind the scenes, behind the curtain, you're not allowed to go around. They're being pulled open. They're going to be burned down before it's over with. Everyone's going to be exposed if we can continue to push forward. She's one of those sitting on Jim Jordan's committee, the House Select Committee on Weaponizing the Government. And her question specifically, and maybe you've been a victim as well, you've been put in Facebook jail, or you've had your Twitter account frozen for a while. We've been knocked off YouTube because they didn't like an interview I did with Sidney Powell because at one time she represented Donald Trump when he was fighting against the election. You can't be an election denier. You're wrong. And it's not just enough that they are doing it on social media. It's how they are using and working hand in glove with federal agencies. And Congressman Jim Jordan looks at how this FBI and other agencies have been weaponized. And he says, Americans have questions.
Americans have concerns about the double standard at the Department of Justice. Americans have concerns about the disinformation governance board that the Department of Homeland Security tried to form. Americans have concerns about the ATF and what they're doing to the Second Amendment. And of course, they have concerns about the IRS and the thousands of new agents who are coming to that organization. And finally, there are concerns about what we've learned in the Twitter files, where big government and big tech colluded to shape and mold the narrative and to suppress information and censor Americans.
That's exactly what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. They're more than willing to be part of it. They're going to take everything they're told and run with it just the way it was laid out for them. And they're going to make sure that they get the targets that they've already selected. And, of course, there are numerous other questions about how the FBI itself has changed. And one member of the Congress brought that very question up as well.
It is clear that the culture and mission of the FBI and DOJ has changed in a manner which runs counter to the rights and liberties of the American people. The purpose of government is to secure our natural rights. Yet the testimony we have heard and the information received from the whistleblowers and other investigative findings has shown that the FBI's mission has moved from securing those rights to using them as a predicate for investigating and surveilling the American people and weaponizing their government structure against them.
She nailed it. She nailed it. Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, Republican, and a former FBI agent, 33 years as an FBI agent who wrote a book about the culture of the FBI and how it's been eroded. Baker was also testifying.
I wrote that article in October, just days after the announcement became public, and I was in touch with high executives at the FBI a day or two after that. They assured me that the FBI would maintain the standard of only investigating those situations where there was violence and not investigating free speech. I have to accept the ranking members of the FBI who told me that. However, my article in the Wall Street Journal still stands. We needed, the FBI needed, the American people needed to hear Director Wray say that publicly, as other FBI directors have spoke up to previous attorney generals and previous presidents, and he never did publicly. And the American people needed to hear, we wouldn't be having this discussion today if he it clearly stated that we will not investigate speech, we'll only investigate violence. We're still waiting for that statement.
And we're still waiting. And he's absolutely right. And now why won't Wray do that? Is it because he's afraid he would perjure himself? That's a 33-year veteran of the FBI, Thomas Baker. He laid out some of it in a Wall Street Journal column and also in his book, The Fall of the FBI. Well, of course, the noise continues about the balloon as they continue to retrieve debris. And Jake Tapper asked a question of Senator Tester.
Do you think President Xi of China was testing President Biden, seeing how he would react, seeing if he was strong or weak or all that?
I think that I don't think this happened by mistake. I think they knew exactly what they're doing, whether Xi knew it or somebody else knew it. This didn't happen by accident. And I think China always tests us and maybe tests us to see what the political fallout was going to be, whether folks played politics with national defense, which is something we've never done. But we did see some of that with this situation, or how the military was going to react. Like I said, this isn't the first time, you know that a balloon has crossed into our airspace in different administrations. And we need to have a plan for that, because obviously it's not going to stop. And I think our airspace is sacred to us, and we ought to protect it.
Yes, yes. And that is a Democrat speaking. We've got a lot to cover coming up on today's Daily Report. Illegals costing our nation in so many different ways. Also, a special Super Bowl commercial will be unleashed in front of 100 million viewers. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. As I was telling you going into that last break, the FBI was planning on conducting investigations into what it had labeled radical traditionalist Catholic ideology. Now, whether you're Catholic or you're not, you should be very concerned that the FBI would even consider such an action. The word got out from a whistleblower as to what they were going to do, and the Daily Signal put out a report on it, and immediately they decided to rescind that. And also, They were going to go after the Southern Poverty Law Center, or citing the Southern Poverty Law Center, I should say, in the process of what they were doing and putting on the map with the Klan chapters and other Christian organizations also going onto the leftist Klan chapter list. Tyler O'Neill joining us. Tyler, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Now, Tyler is the managing editor of the Daily Signal, and of course, that's the print publication offered and radio and broadcast also offered up by the Heritage Foundation. So let's break this down. We've got the FBI rescinding its plan to go after radical traditionalist ideology. One day after an FBI published, a whistleblower put the document out, and then you guys reached out for comment. Is that how it played out?
Yeah, well, so the guidance actually went out last month, but I reached out for comment on Wednesday, and the FBI did not get back to me. And then the FBI got back to me on Thursday with a statement saying, you know, we don't usually comment on our, while our standard practice is not to comment on specific intelligence products, this particular field office product disseminated only within the FBI, does not meet the exacting standards of the FBI, which is exactly what my sources had told me previously. But the real question is, how did this ever get published? And the main thing is, you know, the SPLC is related because the FBI was essentially using the SPLC to go after these traditionalist Catholics.
You're talking about Southern Poverty Law Center when you say the SPLC, yes, right?
Yes. The Southern Poverty Law Center. So I wrote a book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, where I explain, you know, why the SPLC cannot be trusted at all when it comes to these hate group accusations, and why, you know, former employees have said this is part of a cynical fundraising scam. And many of these groups, you know, sometimes they put mainstream conservative and Christian organizations on the map with the Ku Klux Klan, leading to a terrorist attack, by the way. But sometimes they also have, you know, these tiny organizations that barely exist. Like they used to have Wild Man's Surplus and Civil War Shop, where this one guy who like said the South will rise again or whatever and sold his Confederate flag, and they put him on the hate map.
Sold a Confederate flag.
Yes.
You know, but the problem, I mean, we do laugh, it is funny, but at the same time, it's additional weaponization of the government by the left. The left side, the Southern Poverty Law Center, saying you need to look at these guys. They kind of look suspicious. They, you know, he sold a Confederate flag. Who knows what else he has in his basement?
Well, and the really scary thing here is that they're going after traditional Catholics who follow, you know, who prefer the Latin Mass. And if you look at the report, you know, the report isn't, it doesn't say all Catholics are evil or all traditional Catholics are evil. It just says white supremacists are interested in radical traditional Catholic ideology, and therefore there's this connection. And how do we know this? Oh yeah, because the Southern Poverty Law Center is telling us this. Never mind that I had three current and former FBI sources who told me point blank that the FBI trained them never to cite the Southern Poverty Law Center, or at the very least, to make sure you cite somebody on the other side if you ever cite them. And guess what? This FBI report very much did not do have any sort of balance whatsoever.
You're the whistleblower is being identified, correct? Is what's the name?
No,
it's not. Okay, because I wondered about that because I'm looking at a piece here that I was trying to sort through, but I do see that. The document stated, pointing out that there are 70 million Catholics in the U.S. and this should get their blood boiling.
That is Kyle Serafin.
Okay.
Who is a wonderful FBI whistleblower. He published the report, but he actually did not get the report. He got the report from somebody who is currently not suspended in the FBI. Sent him the report.
Well, I have to ask you, do you think they consider, well, there are several things. I mean, this is a can of worms, obviously, or a ball of thread. You start pulling and there's so many other pieces to it. The fact when they call it radical traditionalist Catholic ideology, and you identified it, maybe they're referring to those who practice a Latin mass, but I'll bet it also does not consider folks like, let's say President Biden, who's a Catholic who supports abortion. because saving unborn babies, that's considered radical right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, what we've seen in recent months with the FBI, the way that Biden, under Biden, the FBI is prosecuting pro-life protesters, a Catholic dad, Mark Hook, who, thank God, a jury found him not guilty of all charges. But the FBI was prosecuting him for violating the FACE Act, which is a bill trying to protect institutions. It does protect abortion facilities, but it also protects crisis pregnancy centers. And interestingly enough, the FBI had been silent for months and months and months about the firebombing and various other violent
attacks. They can't find anybody responsible for those. They just exactly. Must have been spontaneous combustion, right? The gas can't happen to be there, and it just blew up, right? I mean, there's got to be reasoning.
And clearly, the spray paint saying Jane's Revenge and all this, that was an act of God, right? I mean, I don't know how it happened, but this amazing rain, fell from the sky. And suddenly, you have Jane's Revenge written on this crisis pregnancy center. Nobody should be targeted for violating the FACE Act. But, God forbid Mark Cook stand up for his son when his son is getting bullied in front of an abortion clinic.
Right.
Oh, that's horrible. We got to prosecute
him. Now we got to go after that guy. You're listening to Tyler O'Neill, managing editor of the Daily Signal with the Heritage Foundation. And in his book titled Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, you target out exactly how they have made money off of generating hate and more hate.
Yeah. So the Southern Poverty Law Center started out, just as the name implies, as a legal organization trying to help poor people in the South who couldn't afford representation. But then, the co-founder, Morris Deese, was an amazing fundraiser, and he discovered that if he started suing the KKK and other white supremacist groups, he could sell a message to Northern liberals saying, the South is evil, and there are all these KKK chapters, and there is so much hate, send us all your money. And so, the KKK obviously was and still is a noxious organization that was responsible for many acts of terror. And in many cases, what Morris Deese did was very noble. But he ran out of grand dragons to conquer. And after he bankrupted all the KKK organizations that meant anything down there, he decided, let's start going after other people. Let's go after skinheads. Let's go after, militia groups. And then somebody at some point at the SPLC got the idea, why don't we go after conservative nonprofits? So now you have, Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, the American College of Pediatricians. My favorite, when we're talking about Catholics, to mention, is the Ruth Institute, which is a nonprofit dedicated to helping the victims of the sexual revolution. Its founder, Jennifer Roback Morse, is a Catholic. And one of the reasons why the Ruth Institute is on the SPLC's hate map is because she decided to quote the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you go to the SPLC's website, even now...
What did she do again?
She quoted the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
She simply quoted the church. Go ahead. Okay.
Yes. So the SPLC has the section on their website where they say, in their own words, which is supposed to be damning quotes, right, from these organizations proving that they're hate groups. Well, in their own words section, they have a section where they quote her as saying, as the church says, homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered. That intrinsically disordered language isn't something she made up on the fly. That comes directly from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So according to the SPLC, you know, if the SPLC were to be intellectually honest with their hate accusations, they would have to brand the entire Catholic Church a hate group. Now, they haven't done that.
No, they use the term radical, but then they also won't define radical. But I know what it is. If you don't agree with us, you're radical. Now, before we wrap up, the key part here is the Southern Poverty Law Center has obviously evolved, and it has a mission now that it didn't have before. But it's not just that they have targeted and labeled radical Catholics as they describe them, but the linkage with our government, the FBI, the DOJ, the Attorney General, that's the issue that really undermines this nation.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's horrifying. You know, if the federal government is considering the Southern Poverty Law Center a reliable source, then what does that mean for the rights of religious conservatives and those who, you know, those who believe that we should have a border with Mexico and not just allow anybody to enter it? Or those who think that, you know, Muslims are a diverse group, but there are radical Islamic terrorists who are motivated by a certain type of radical Islam, and we should call that out. All of those people are considered hateful by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they specifically go after people who don't toe the line on the leftist ideology. So you see what's going on with the FBI in these recent months, targeting abortion, targeting pro-life protesters, and not going after abortion activists. That's what it looks like if they endorse more of the SPLC.
All right. Tyler, I want to thank you again. This is Tyler O'Neill. He's managing editor of the Daily Signal and has out a book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tyler, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks. My pleasure.
It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota. At Hampton, just north of Interstate 44, Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal is a roofing company trusted all over the Midwest, but also has a national reputation. John Beal is an Owens Corning Platinum contractor. Less than 1% of roofing contractors in the nation meet that professional standard. Now, that's pretty amazing. But John Beal also guarantees you the lowest price. John Beal Personal Service, always going above and beyond. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So riddle me this. Do you think illegals should have a right to vote in this country? They just had a vote on that in the House. House Republicans voting no. And 42 House Democrats said no, they should not be allowed to vote. Those 42 House Democrats include some of those in swing districts, Congressman Cartwright in Pennsylvania, Cuellar in Texas, Gonzalez in Texas, Slotkin in Minnesota, Spanberger in Virginia. They say, no, they should not be allowed to vote. They're not here legally. Speaking of illegals, there's a special report coming out looking at the pipeline of unaccompanied alien children coming into the nation. Now, one thing to keep in mind, They come in, they say they're with a parent, maybe the child is too young to even say, or even they're old enough to say, and they claim to be with the person they're with, that they're parent-child relationship. We don't know for sure if that's happening because we're not really checking. We're not running DNA and making sure. But not just bringing kids across for sex trafficking, which I'm afraid is happening, and it breaks my heart to think about what some of these kids are going through after they come to the great America. And if those are not being pushed into sex trafficking, they might also be pushed into jobs when they're well underage to be doing such a job. Homeland Security investigation looking at possible human trafficking because there are a large number of migrant minors in the same area. Guess where? Meatpacking companies. They're working for groups that are going in and cleaning up meatpacking companies in Montana, Nebraska. Somebody's doing the hiring. That should be stopped. But it also turns out that many of these children have dangerous conditions. We're talking about 13 and 14-year-old. They have chemical burns on their hands because they're using these strong cleaning chemicals. And they're probably also victims of sex trafficking on top of that. In July 2022, Reuters released a report showing all these unidentified, accompanied minors coming across were basically helping build a child labor workforce under the Biden administration. And in the meantime, Joe Biden and his deputies now drafting a bigger migration swap with Mexico. It would blow through Congress's small caps, or annual caps, I should say, on immigration levels. This is according to the Washington Post. It would expand that border management deal that annually trades 360,000 additional migrants for 360,000 deportations back into Mexico. Don't look for them to be deported. But the ideas are going to be delivering more Latinos into U.S. jobs. Less jobs for Americans. Now, where is the left that says it's all about middle-class America and helping protect them? Oh, they've gone silent. Because they're also about open borders. The Post reported, Mexico is the linchpin of this plan because it could have the power to stop the flow of migrants, but they are not doing it. And American authorities there and here still resisting taking some back into Mexico. You look at all the problems that are coming with illegals, drugs, child trafficking, sex trafficking, and the economic pictures I just laid out for you. And the general American may not actually get it until it hits them in the face. Senator J.D. Vance, Republican of Ohio, says, take something that you have as an American. The American dream of owning a home. Your chances of owning a home or even renting an apartment might be disappearing right now.
If you think about what it means to have 20 or 25 million undocumented illegal immigrants in a country in a situation where we're not building enough housing, that puts incredible pressure. You have way more buyers for way fewer homes, and that puts incredible pressure on home buyers and people who just want to live a good life. I'm a very strong believer that we should think about our immigration problem and our immigration crisis as an economic problem as much as a cultural or law and order problem.
That's a very good point, and that being raised by J.D. Vance, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican of Ohio, and he admitted in the beginning of his statements that we have to be worried about the drugs, the child trafficking and everything. That should be top priority, but also the economic impact upon our communities. Now, we can look at it as a grand community in the sense that, well, illegals are using up our services for hospital, health care, schools, things of this nature, and they're not contributing. And we have all of us enough, I hope, humanity that we want to help children if they're in need of any of those things. But most of us when it comes down to it's my child or your child, I'm going to choose mine. That's the way parents are. Nothing wrong with it. The same thing that you're going to choose this country over another country if you're an American, if you're a true patriot. But he says we got to look at the economic impact. He said you get 20 to 25 million undocumented illegals. We're already not building enough housing, so therefore folks that are living here and they want housing and they can't get it, and in part, he didn't mention, but in part is because this government, the Biden administration, and the general attitude of the bureaucracy is we'll help these people get housing. They'll put them in hotels. And we got veterans in the street, don't have a place to stay, and mental cases, and we have homeless people everywhere. But if they come in and they're illegal, we may well give them a place in a hotel to stay. We do give them a place to stay for a period of time. Then maybe they do come here for a better job, and they get it, and they are going to be contributing, and then they can afford to buy or rent a place that maybe you could have rented. Not available now. They're all gone. Or a house you want to buy, and now they're all gone. You can't afford anything above what you already set. So he's pointing out something that has been often ignored in the economic impact on individuals. Again, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican, Ohio.
Immigration in this country right now, illegal immigration in this country, means wage theft in the form of competition for jobs from lower wage, migrants. And in this instance, in the context of housing, illegal immigration means theft of the American dream of housing when you have 25 million people who shouldn't be here by law competing with American citizens to buy their first home, to rent a home. And that is a major problem that we should be talking more about in the context of the immigration crisis.
Yeah, we need more talk on that. You think you're going to get any more talk on it? Yeah, maybe talk. Are you getting any action? That's the key. Coming up, of course, the Super Bowl this Sunday, but there's something that's going to be presented at the Super Bowl that is going to be, for some, shocking. Stand by.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So this year at the Super Bowl, the gospel is going to be presented to millions who are watching this Super Bowl. It's part of an ad campaign titled, He Gets Us. I know you've seen some of those already. Now it's going to be inside the Super Bowl. This campaign was launched in 2022 to reach people with the truth of the gospel through TV, radio, digital ads, billboards, various platforms. They have a $100 million budget. The ads highlight the humanity of Jesus, showing that he was, quote, a refugee, had disdain for hypocrisy, also fairly unjudged like other marginalized members of modern society. He gets us. They are now spending $20 million to run just a 30-second spot, He Gets Us, in the first half, and then a 60-second ad in the second half of the Super Bowl, possibly reaching $100 million or more. The campaign website states, our hope is that you see how Jesus experienced challenges and emotions just like we have, and we want to provide a safe place to ask questions, including the tough ones. I've liked these ads from the moment I saw them. He gets us. He knows we're failing, we're human, we're sinful. He gets all of that. But he also offers a way out of it. I think it's an amazing project, and I'm sure God is going to bless it. Be interesting to see reaction after it airs. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.